Welcome to Sound Practice, the business podcast for physicians and healthcare leaders, hosted by Mike Tsakopoulos and produced by the American Association for Physician Leadership.
At first blush, the ideas of servants and leaders seem distinct, even mutually exclusive. How can an individual be both a servant and a leader simultaneously? Perhaps my initial reaction to the juxtaposition of servant and leader is the issue. When approached from the correct perspective, the contradictions fade and connections come into focus. My guest today has spent much productive time on servants, leaders, and healthcare. He will help us find leadership opportunities. Next on Sound Practice. My guest today is David Zechman. David is CEO of Mergerstone Group. He is a seasoned healthcare executive with over 37 years of experience, including 20 years of executive management and CEO tenure. David is the author of Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders. David Zechman, welcome to Sound Practice.
Well, thank you, Michael. I'm glad to be here. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about my leadership passion and my experience implementing that.
Well, it's our pleasure to have you join us. As we get started, David, could you please describe your career path as a healthcare leader?
Sure. I think I'm a little bit of an exception to the rule, Michael. I started my professional career as a high school biology teacher and football and track coach in Cleveland, Ohio, and my hometown. And I loved it. But I was making $10,000 a year. So as you can well imagine, it's hard to raise a family on that. So I decided to get into healthcare and I started my career as an on-the-job trainee respiratory therapist. So working nights, and I worked for a year in a hospital-based training program. And then, so I was eligible to go to Northwestern University Medical School in Chicago for an accelerated RT program to be credentialed. So I started with that, and then I moved. I decided I really wanted to be in leadership. So I decided I really did have a vision and a goal of being a CEO. So I started working nights as an on-the-job trainee, and then I took different jobs throughout the Midwest. I left Cleveland to Toledo to Kansas City for 10 years at St. Luke's to Jewish Hospital Healthcare in Louisville, Kentucky, back to rural Missouri, and then ended my career in northern Michigan working for McLaren Healthcare. One of the things that I think is a little bit unique that was a key to my work with the team was the fact that I understood what they go through. I had empathy for their work at the bedside, especially on the night shift. And so I think that really played well for me in terms of my relationship, you know, with the hospital staff. So I started at the bottom and worked all the way up to the top.
Well, very, very impressive. Before we get into the 8 values set forth in your book, I'd like to know about servant leaders. Who's being served?
Who's being served is the people that you lead. Okay. And what, you know, the pandemic did a lot of things for our society. One of those things was the fact that employees, it exacerbated their frustration with leadership. They want leaders, servant leaders who will provide the resources for them to be successful. It isn't about the leader anymore. The priority is the people you lead. And you can't do that unless you have the culture of serving them for their success.
Well, certainly over time, leadership styles have changed. I think you would agree with me. Does the top-down hierarchical leadership style still work in today's healthcare systems?
No. I don't think so. There are still people out there with the hierarchical view, and sometimes, Michael, you have to have a hierarchical in a crisis situation. Somebody has to make the decisions and very quickly. So that part is still there, but that's true of any organization. Mm. But now, you know, the healthcare workers came into the pandemic tired, and they came out even more tired, for lack of better words there. And they're asking for more. They want more, okay? And they want their leaders to support them personally and professionally. So the best decisions are made in collaboration with the people who's directly affected by a decision. And just coming in and saying, hey, we're going to do it this way, that's it. Well, yeah, that might work. Depends on the culture, but generally, it's not the best way to make a decision.
Fair enough. Let's move into the eight values you discuss in your book, Driven by Compassion, Eight Values for Successful Servant Leaders. Please select a few of the values and give me examples of them in action, if you could.
Sure. Let's do the first one, and that's walk the talk. Okay. Walk the talk is defined as living and breathing love and compassionate values in your daily leadership journey. And it's obvious. I mean, I guess the question I always ask the people I present this to is, do you think there's a crisis in leadership today? And the resounding answer is yes. And that's throughout everything in our society. People, now what? If you don't walk the talk, which means doing things that you do, everything your employees do. Now, again, I'm not a technical person. I couldn't go into IT, or I couldn't be a nurse, or I couldn't be an operating room doc. Okay. But I could still provide those resources to them that they need and have empathy for what they do. So, and you know, the simplest example I use is when I'm walking the talk is if you tell somebody to be at their desk by 8 a.m. in the morning, okay, and it's required, and then you stroll in at 9 or 9:30, what do you think they think?
Right.
I mean, that's just a very simple suggestion. But as I had a discussion with some college students yesterday at a local school here, and you, as a leader, you're always on stage. You're always on stage. People are looking to see what you're doing, how you're doing it, whether you like it or not. That's the way it is. So walking the talk is critical. By the way, that was the number one value when I surveyed the people that I interviewed for the book. That was clearly to them the most important. So if you don't do that, it doesn't work. The second value that I would say is most important is honesty and integrity. Of course, you know, that's being open and truthful with individuals and also for anything regarding the organization. And the last one I'll mention is communication. And it's practicing regular and consistent communication tactics that include genuine encouragement and honest feedback. And there's so many different ways to communicate. And there's, for example, I'll give you just one that I find incredibly important, and that is writing thank you notes. Okay, now people have been writing thank you notes for a long time, but there's an art to it, and you send it to their home, you copy the manager who recommended that employee if I read thank you note, and people love it. People absolutely love it. They put it in a refrigerator at home. They put them at their workspace. I've seen it, and it's just their eyes light up, and their family gets to see it. They got a note from the boss at home. It just means a lot to them. And the last one that I'm really proud of, I did a simple little communication email every day to every employee that included a little inspirational quote, a little news about the hospital, and the most important part, a corny joke. A corny joke. And I will tell you, they loved that. They just absolutely loved that. I used to get notes in the afternoon. If I didn't send a message out in the morning because I was in a meeting or something, they go, "Where's the daily message?" So, and then they would, and some of the people said, "You know, thank you for that joke. It made me laugh. It made me laugh."
Did you get submissions? Did people put in candidates for corny jokes?
Oh, yes, great. That was actually most fun. I would get submissions from employees both for quotes and corny jokes, and what I would do is I'd say on it, submitted by such and such, submitted by. Nice. Such and such. And oh my gosh, you know, their work colleagues would say, "Did you really send that to Zuckman? Man, that was really good." So anyway, it was a lot of fun. And but those are things that are so important. There's so many other things, but I would say those are really the top three.
Do the values that we've just been discussing, do they also apply between physician and patient? And by this, I guess I'm asking if they're more universal, or do you think that they're restricted to the employment sphere?
Oh, no, the ideas are definitely universal. And physicians have to do this every day. OK, okay, in their daily work when they interact with patients and they interact with patients' families. Obviously, the three of those that I mentioned, communication is so critical to patients and their families today. And it shows that the patients, that the physician really does care to them and is willing to talk with them and also be polite with them and be courteous. And that's just really very, very important. So yes, it's universal. All the values are actually, Michael, very universal for physicians as well.
Nice. You think back, is there a particular leader that has inspired you?
Actually, I had three of them. One of them, and they were my mentors. One of them was somebody I met when I served a hospital in Florida, who was the deputy director of the Federal Reserve Bank during the Reagan administration. One of the smartest people I know. Well, one of the things about him, he was very smart, but he had compassion for people. That was his number one thing. And as a number one thing, he encouraged me to do. The second one was the president of Jewish Hospital in Louisville, Kentucky, who reminded me how important communication is. When I was one day, I was talking with him about an issue, and he looked at me and he said, "Put away the computer, get it off your desk, and call him." He said, "Stop sending notes. Call him. Meet with them." And I'll never forget that conversation. It just struck me that he was right, and he's right. We now sometimes, as a servant leader, we sometimes forget just talking to people, calling them up, you know, meeting with them for 5 minutes. To work through that. And it was really important. The third one was the president and CEO of McLaren Healthcare in Michigan, Phil Incarnati, started the system in 1986 with one hospital in Flint, okay, and grew it to an $8 billion company today. And he, one of the things about him that is so critical to being a servant leader was that he was accessible. I could call him anytime. And if he was available, he'd take my call, or he would call me back within 24 hours. Now, think about that. Somebody running an $8 billion company would be willing to call me back in that soon. And he was open. He was easy to talk to. He was accessible. And I think one of the things that's so important to be a successful servant leader is to be accessible.
Great, great point. David, you and I have been in healthcare world for many years. Looking back, is there anything you wish someone would have told you in your early years?
You know, I think if they would have told me how complicated healthcare is. Healthcare, Peter Drucker once said that to be in healthcare is the most complicated business in the world. And I know people don't want to hear the word business for healthcare, but the fact of the matter is, it is a business, okay? Whether we like that or not. But there's no reason why we can't have a successful healthcare business and also treat people with compassion and kindness. It works. You can do it. Everybody gets into healthcare, Michael, for one reason, and that's they get in there to heal the sick. Now, as they go through their career, sometimes that attitude changes, of course, but almost everybody gets into healthcare, got into it to heal the sick. And I think what I wasn't told was, well, to heal the sick, a lot of these other kind of things have to happen. And there's so many political issues and complexities with the community, the payers, the physicians, the administration, the nurses. So that wouldn't have stopped me from going into it, but it's clearly complicated.
Absolutely. Your book is exceptional, David. Want your opinion on what makes Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leader. What makes it unique to other leadership books?
Well, what makes it unique is that it is based on real life experiences. There's very little theory in it. There is some, obviously, but as a foundation. But generally, most of it is about real life experiences. And that people want to hear that. They want to hear those stories. They want to hear, well, how did you do it? When did this happen? How did this happen? What did you do to fix it? And I think that's what makes it unique. It's very pragmatic. It's an easy read. It's 140 pages long. And the people that have read it have loved it. They just loved it. And because, again, it's an easy read, real life examples and things that they can take back to their leadership journey. I mean, that was the goal. I mean, obviously you could tell this is my passion. This is how I led. But now I hope that the people that read the book or listen to my or attend a program that I present are excited. And I think what I hope to, you know, my theory, my slogan for the book is that I hope the book provides information leaders need to, quote, remember, renew, and refresh, quote. As to why we got into leadership, why we got into leadership, the enthusiasm and the passion, and it's a privilege and a gift. And I want leaders to recapture that. And as an aside about physicians, physicians are trained. When they go to medical school, they're trained to be individuals, okay? They train to be, make decisions. But physicians can be leaders. If they're not leading a group, they could be, you're a leader for yourself, okay? Somebody told me that recently, said, you know, everybody's a leader, whether you lead 1,000 people, whether you lead 10,000 people, whether you lead 10, or whether you lead one, which is yourself, okay? You lead yourself. And so for physicians, absolutely this is applicable. And it's applicable to their work with their patients, but also applicable to with their colleagues and the hospital staff.
It certainly has a lot of very practical information
inside those
covers. You alluded to something earlier about people. I think your term was tired and became more tired after the pandemic. And as you know, burnout is a problem faced at many levels of healthcare. Do the 8 values in any way assist with this issue?
Absolutely, because I think it, again, employees are looking for in healthcare, where there's, by the way, it's the same for physicians, okay? Because they're looking for this too. They want to feel valued. And I can't emphasize that anymore. They want to feel valued. And we lost that in healthcare. We lost valuing the dedicated great people that we have in that profession. Whether you're in accounting, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a physician, whether you're a surgeon, we've lost that. And I think the 8 values of servant leadership here encourage, it shows that you do value the people that you lead. You know, the number one, I mean, there's a huge staffing crisis in healthcare, Michael. I think you're probably aware of that. Mm-hmm. And it's nurses, doctors everywhere. And part of it, and it's not just nurses either, it's other respiratory therapists, it's everyone. And part of it is that they are burned out. But how do you prevent that burnout? Is that you value them, you provide resources that they need. You know, you're a servant leader, you support them, you get to know them. One of the things I talk about in the book is that you need to get to know the people you work with, not prying into their personal life, but getting to know them. What are they like? What's their, you know, is there something great going on in their family? Or did they have a crisis in their family you can help them with? Those are the sorts of things that leaders represent. I had an operating room director when I first got my last job, whose son, 5-year-old son, has leukemia, pretty serious stuff. And I found out, and when I saw her, I said, hey, I just want to ask you how your son's doing, and can I do anything to help you? And her face just lit up. Okay, lit up. And I saw her again, and I said the same thing. And she looked at me, and she goes, you know, Mr. Zechman, I can't tell you how I appreciate you asking about my son. It means a lot to me. That's it. Now, do you think that she's going to be more engaged in her job? Absolutely. Okay, absolutely. And that's true for every, same thing with docs, you know, having conversations with physicians about what's going on in their family life. You know, how are their kids doing? Maybe one's a star athlete at the high school. I start following them. So I'll say, hey, I saw your son at 200 yards on Friday night. And that kind of thing. They like that too. So we can't, one of the things I know is physician driven is that we can't forget physicians. We got to include them in all this process and make sure that we're meeting their needs, okay, so that they can be successful in their practice and not just dump them out there. And then, you know, and that just frustrates physicians to no end. And that's just not right. We have to treat physicians just as well as we do the employees.
David, I suspect that after our conversation here that some of the audience members may wish to interact with you. 2 questions. What does that look like as far as an interaction? What services do you provide, and how might they find you?
The services I provide are executive coaching. Okay, I coach some executives currently. I also provide a leadership development program. I'm currently teaching this course, this book, the book as a course to middle managers for a healthcare, large healthcare system in Florida. And that's a 10-week program. I do keynote presentations. I do workshops. So based on this model. And so those are the things that I do do. You can get hold of me at either david.zekman@gmail.com, okay, david.zekman@gmail.com, or you could call me. I'll give you my cell phone number, 231-373-6724, 231-373-6724. And I'd love to talk to you. I as I told the students yesterday, I said, I'm here. I'm excited to be here because I'm going to learn from you. And boy, they asked me some really good questions. So that was great. And that's what really excites me.
Well, I think with that cell phone number, you just hit 2 of the 8 with accessibility and walking the talk.
That's right.
So I can't thank you enough for being on Sound Practice and your good work as a healthcare leader. My guest has been David Zekman. David, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was a pleasure to be here.
My thanks to David Zekman for his time and insights. His book, Driven by Compassion, 8 Values for Successful Servant Leaders, should be on your reading list. My thanks also to the American Association for Physician Leadership for making this podcast possible. Please join me next time on Sound Practice. We release a new episode every other Wednesday.
You've been listening to Sound Practice, the business podcast for physicians and healthcare leaders. Check out the show notes for this episode at soundpracticepodcast.com. If you have any suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear them. Email us at info@soundpracticepodcast.com. Subscribe to Sound Practice wherever you listen to podcasts so you can automatically receive our episodes. And please rate us and comment on the podcast in iTunes and Google Play. Sound Practice is presented and produced by the team at American Association for Physician Leadership. We are the world's premier organization for all aspects of physician leadership in every sector of healthcare. Learn more at physicianleaders.org. That man Robin, Whitman Kapow.